Facebook wanted to give poor people in India free internet. India said no. Jerry Ann Henry of Protect Internet Freedom talks about what effect that might have on future American internet policy on this crummy little podcast.
Jerry Ann Henry is a public advocate for Protect Internet Freedom, which promotes and defends a free and open internet. You can find their stuff at protectinternetfreedom.com. Jerry Ann, thank you for joining this crummy little podcast.
Thanks, Jim. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you because we've been hearing about net neutrality for a number of years. That's at least the buzzword that we've heard in the media.
That's right.
And it's been an issue, but it's been very conceptual. Can you describe it in a nutshell?
Yeah. So net neutrality, or Title II, is basically it takes the internet and turns it into something like a public utility. There's a lot of reasons that people have, pros and cons that people have debated about that. I think the biggest con and the biggest issue that I have with it is that it allows the government to regulate a lot of the internet. The internet is one of our greatest assets in the United States. It's provided so much innovation, entrepreneurship. It's incredible, and it frankly didn't need regulation. What is it that Reagan said? If it moves, the government will come and regulate it. We had a really great thing going for us, and now Title II has allowed a lot more control, and it's turned it into from something that could be market driven to something that now is based on the size of a group's the success of different programs is based on a company or individual's lobbying power or ability to work closely with whoever's in control of the FCC at that time.
And that segues really well into something that's going on not here in America, not here in the United States, but halfway across the world in India.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like what's playing out in India is maybe a preview for the types of policy battles we're going to have over this issue. Can you tell me what's going on there?
Absolutely. So I'm going to try and put it as simply as possible. There are a lot of different companies who have come up with ways to get internet to the people who have the least opportunity to access the internet. So they may not be able to afford full, huge plans. One of the options Facebook has is called Free Basics. You get access to about 80 websites and applications without paying any wireless or data charges. So this puts not the full internet, not as much as we'd love everybody to have eventually. And of course, if Facebook is doing it, they're going to choose their websites and their access, what they want those people to see. But it does put some internet into the hands of the people who are most desperate for it. And there are other plans. Google has had plans. Many others have their versions of limited internet access and access for people who can't afford it. Now, in an ideal world, whether here in the States or somewhere else, we would see people sign up for these plans, jump off of them if they're not working, sign up for other things, and let this be sort of a market-driven process where the best is the one that is the plan that wins out. But interestingly, a lot of the same people who here in the United States advocated for net neutrality are working overseas in India and have now shut down Free Basics because it doesn't give the full internet to everybody. Which now, of course, I, as much as you and anybody else, want everybody to have access to everything. But that's kind of like telling a starving person that they can't have we can't give them any food, any soup, unless it's organic soup. Otherwise, they just have to starve with nothing. It's frankly a little bit silly, and it comes down to who has the most power to regulate the Indian government, to lobby the internet, Indian government about what sort of plans are put into place in India, not what the Indian citizens need.
And it's the telecom regulatory authority of India that's making this decision.
That's correct.
But they've received a lot of comments from the net neutrality advocates that you'd normally see, the Tim
mm-hmm.
Berners-Lees of the world.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's something there's a very interesting thing. We saw it here in the United States, and I think we're seeing the same exact campaign and game plan in India. And that is that they make it, they steal the phrase of free and open. That's what everybody here in the States, when John Oliver and others talked about the internet, many people jumped onto that cause because they did want a free and open internet. They believe very passionately that we have that. What I think that they got sort of duped on is that they actually got more regulation under the titles of open internet. And in India, we're seeing that same sort of thing play out. There are, you know, there were questions and comments where that people could make on the FCC rule here in the States. In India, there's a few things like that. Of course, you have to have the internet already to participate in the online commenting on this regulation. So those people who didn't get the internet because it was taken away from them, you know, the poor people, they didn't get to comment. So
seems a little silly.
A little circular there, which is why, you know, hopefully if they'd had even a limited internet, they would have access to so much more.
Wow, that's kind of backward.
We did a little bit of study about some of the people, some of the names behind this. And if you actually go to our website, we've got some great graphics on there that you can either go straight to protectinternetfreedom.com and link to it, or you can go to nointernetforpoorpeople.com and see the names of some of the same people who fought for net neutrality here in the United States and are working on increased government regulation of the internet here, who also had a hand in what's happening in India. Interestingly, for all of these people who think that the poor people of India should have less access to internet unless they get, well, that they should have full access or no access, none of those people live in impoverished areas of the United States. They're all doing pretty well and live in pretty nice zip codes and are a little, it feels a little bit like Marie Antoinette telling people, you know, let them eat cake.
Yeah, there's probably neighborhoods that have nice fiber optic coverage, maybe a choice of a couple of different carriers and don't have to worry about scrounging for where they're going to get online. No one's hanging out down at the local library just to try to access a few job search websites.
Exactly.
Now, that brings up the issue of zero rating. Mm-hmm. Here in the States, we see that, or seem like we see a version of it, every time I see a T-Mobile ad that says free streaming music. Mm-hmm. And a few years ago, Verizon tried to work out some kind of deal with ESPN where if you were accessing ESPN programming over the Verizon mobile network, you weren't paying any fees. So if we see a rise and more Title II and net neutrality regulations here, are we going to see an end to that?
You know, there's a lot that goes into that here in the States, and I think that there's battles going on. So it's possible we'll see an end to some of those things here. You know, all of this does come down to more than just what you're allowed to stream. I think it also has to do with the sources of what you stream. And that, again, goes back to the point that I made of who has the most power with the current administration and whose deal is going to be the one that gets to get out of not letting the data go towards their cap and who doesn't. So is it going to be one company's lobbying group that adjusts the rules to benefit them or another company's lobbying group that adjusts the rules, tweaks them a little bit to help them? And so I think more than just seeing these things end, my concern is seeing this go away from being driven by what you, the consumer, need and what makes the most sense to keep this very vibrant tool that we've had that's helped drive our economy now for the last decade, almost two. I worry about seeing the control of that taken away from the user and be driven by a bunch of people in a corporate boardroom or in the back smoky room in Washington, D.C., making these decisions.
So all of a sudden, if Hulu's lobbyists get in there, then you can buy a plan that has free streaming Hulu, but it sucks if you like Netflix.
Something like that. I won't speak to any of the specific companies, but yeah, something like that. And I think
sure.
I think that any of that, whether we're talking about this just with zero rating and streaming video, or if we're talking about even, you know, just free basics in India where people get access to a little bit of internet, the idea here is that now big government's hand and their thumb is over the internet, determining how that is run and how it works, picking the winners and losers as to who can be successful here. You know, a startup company, and the internet has been half of the great companies and things that we love today started on the internet. You have tons and tons of things that have changed our economy and how we do business because of that. You know, a young startup doesn't have the clout to go in and change the rules to benefit them. It squelches that innovation and squelches their opportunity to succeed. And that ultimately is, I think, for the needs that we haven't yet even discovered yet, I worry that they will be, and we all are worried that they will be hindered because of this regulation.
That's an interesting point, because this new technology is speeding along faster than the folks sitting in offices in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
can figure it out.
Yes.
And it's a little scary when they say, okay, well, let's see what kind of boxes we can put this in, when they don't really even know what's going on.
Exactly. Exactly. And some of the, you know, that's not to downplay. There are many people in Washington, D.C. who know a whole heck of a lot more than you or I might about some of the specifics of this regulation. That's all well and good, but the internet should move. It moves faster than the slow turning wheels of government can. It takes time for these rules to change. It takes time for people to meet and discuss and pontificate and campaign around all of these things. And in the meantime, innovation is held up, and your access to one of your greatest tools is held up. This podcast is available, is possible because of a free and open internet.
That's probably not a good mark on your side. you may want to walk that one.
Walk that one right back.
Jerianne, let me ask you this: why is it now that we're at such a crossroads in this? Why are we coming to that right now?
Well, I think there's two things. I think there's been part of what's brought this forward has been, like I said, a very concerted effort from some advocates for regulation, things like Title II, and they've built massive campaigns, and through that brought this issue to the attention of millions and millions of people here in the United States, as well as slowly it's rolling out in other countries. But what I think you're also seeing at the same time is a huge backlash to that, as people thought, like I said at the beginning of this discussion, they thought that they were advocating for a more open internet. And now they're seeing that that actually means more regulation. Just for our organization alone, we're a grassroots organization. We have over 1.6 million people across the United States who have signed up to work with us and be active on this issue, because they care that deeply about having the internet free rather than regulated. And so I think you're starting, like you said, yeah, there is a crossroads. And a lot of this is going to take education and sharing with people more about what these regulations actually mean and what's happening, not just because somebody made a joke about it on late night TV, but the actual reality of what your internet will look like if it's more regulated versus what it could look like and what it did look like before. And showing that puts it in really night and day contrast. And I think you're seeing a lot of people react to what they're seeing happen around the world and here in the States.
You guys are an independent grassroots organization too, right?
We are. We are. We're built from the ground up by all of the people who care about this issue. We have 106 million members. We've a 501(c)(3). And so because of that, all of our funding comes straight out of donations from those impassioned people. And sometimes that, you know, can be a little limiting. We have to make sure we are honest to the group and what gets the most bang for our buck. But it's pretty empowering to have that many people behind us
And it's also an important voice because too often in these debates you see sides being taken. And as you alluded to earlier, you have one big company who wants one policy position and another big company that wants another policy position. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. Right. It's nice to see somebody who's independent and not being influenced by these corporate behemoths.
We can apply equal scrutiny to everybody to make sure that they all toe the line, which, you know, sometimes – one may do a little better than others. We never know, but we take no money from any of them and are bound to none of them.
Jerrianne, I have one more question for you, sure. And that is, what type of impact do you think this issue will have on upcoming elections, if any? Or is this something that is just kind of going over the head of most average American voters?
Well, if I do my job right, and we work hard, then it will have a great impact. We actually have been able to get almost every one of the candidates, and this is also available on our website, candidates, some of whom have dropped out now, but almost every Republican candidate has gone on the record to talk about this issue. It is very important because it is one of the many real tangible ways to see the difference in philosophy between a more regulated, more controlled, more government-run country, and one that is more free. And I think you can see, you'll see this come out in, you know, when Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders unveiled their policies. I think you'll see the awareness of this tick up just a bit, we're watching closely for when that happens. It'll be very interesting for sure. I hope they talk about it more. I think it's a great way for some of the Republican candidates to show their philosophy and hit people right where they are at home. Most people are watching them online. So it's a great way to showcase the importance of that open internet.
That's Jerrianne Henry, a public advocate for Protect Internet Freedom, which promotes and defends a free and open internet. You can check out their stuff at protectinternetfreedom.com. NoInternetForPoorPeople.com as well. Jerrianne, thank you very much for joining this crummy little podcast.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for listening to this crummy little podcast. If you want to hear more, check out www.crummylittlepodcast.com. You can also subscribe on iTunes, and don't forget to leave a review. Thanks again.
That's Jerrianne Henry, a public advocate for I can't even do the editing. This is why you don't want to align yourself with stuff like this. This is a poor example of the internet.